Welcome back, and we are currently with the Media Communications Advisory Board. I'll be turning the floor over to them, and I would like them to first introduce themselves, and then the floor is theirs.
Hi, I'm Howard Hoffman, the chairperson, and we have Maxine Giswaldi, who is our newest member to the board.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Don Herbert. I'm the Director of Public Information and Communication. And that completes her.
Thank you for coming.
That completes our members in here.
Very concise.
So our members are myself, the chairperson, David Rasbach, the vice chair, Greg Wax is our supervisor liaison, Don Herbert is our staff liaison, Peter Kuhn, member, Jim Kravitz, member, Phil Carroll, member, Michael Cordero, and you've met Maxine already. And we're looking for a student member, so go find us a student member. We had a good one last year. We're looking for a good replacement for this year. So the purpose of the Media Communication Advisory Board is to provide advice and recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on the promotion and development of all forms of media communications by the township for the dissemination of information to the township community. We've got some lofty goals this year. The township website right now is in need of a refresh. So we're currently working to replace the current website. The LED sign has done very well for us. We have upgraded it to a higher dot pitch, so it has greater resolution and we can display more information. We're looking for a second location for another LED sign. We want to improve communications within the township and improve communications with the school district. Last year, we had attempted to work with the school district and we were a bit unsuccessful, so we're looking to really kick that in high gear this year.
Every year we take a look at our franchise fees that we collect from the cable franchise in the township, which is Comcast and Verizon. In 2022, we collected nearly $644,000, and last year we collected just under $620,000, which is a $25,000 less for 1 year to the next, which is equating to almost 4% less. So I decided to go back and look at a trend, see what the trend is over the last 12 years, and I created this chart. So from 2012, we could see that we were climbing. And then I think as streaming became more popular and cable became less popular, and we don't get franchise fees for streaming, we get franchise fees for cable. So you can see the number was pretty steady going down, and then it took a bump as a result, I believe, of COVID and everybody being locked up. They started to increase their subscriptions again because the only entertainment they had was at home. But then, and then since then, you can see that the trend is going down. And I can only imagine it's going to continue that way with more and more streaming and less cable.
So, Don, when you say cable, you're talking about the cable channels that actually, like Comcast provides, like, or Verizon.
Right.
But it doesn't include the internet connectivity so that you could stream when you Comcast, Peacock, what have you.
You can, right, if you're streaming any of the big, Max and Peacock, so, and but we don't get franchise fees on internet connections.
So even though the cable still may be in the house, they're just using the internet connection, we get that.
When I had the triple play, I had phone, cable, and internet. When I got rid of the home, you know, phone, and then I subsequently got rid of the cable, but I kept the internet. So you can only just get internet through that same cable. And so, yeah, the Cable Franchise Fee Act did not include internet. I guess the providers saw that coming down the pike and took advantage of it. I was just thinking the other day, is there a way we can get new legislation passed to include internet? I talked to Tim and
Amanda. It's
obviously a wave of the future. And even after the wire that comes into your house, there's going to be wireless to follow up on it, where you won't even have a cable run into your house. Now, speaking of franchise agreements, the Verizon agreement expired several years ago, and we've been trying to get them to commit to a meeting. Our initial contact person referred me to somebody else who I've been reaching out to and trying to get a commitment to a meeting, and they've been very slow moving on this. And the only thing I can imagine is that we're going to be asking for an equipment grant, which I'm not so sure they're thrilled about. And they only want to commit to a 5-year agreement, not a 15 like we've had in the past. But they just, every time I reach out to them, last time it was, I'll see if the attorneys, I can commit, if I can get the attorneys to commit to availability. And I follow up again, I didn't even get a response to the last one. So that's a little frustrating.
But so we're still paying on the old.
Oh yeah, we're still operating under the previous existing, I guess, because it's still in effect.
And Verizon didn't fulfill the requirements of the first franchise agreement. There are parts of the township that still are unable to get Fios.
Well, that was so the other. Yeah.
We really do need to bring them to the table.
We asked them to provide or demonstrate that they've built out as the agreement. Complying with the agreement, and we don't believe they have. We know in certain areas they have not. So, don't know if that's another reason why they're reluctant.
Nope.
But we're pursuing it.
Why?
Okay, so for our social media platforms, around this time last year, Facebook was hacked. And so what happened was a lot of users were locked out of their account. And after multiple attempts to recover the township's account failed, the only option was to create a new account. So you can see on the screen the subscriber numbers here. Facebook has been slowly rising after launching the new site, but not back to the level it was before. And then with X, formerly Twitter, it's been mostly flat with a slight increase and then a slightly higher increase with Instagram. So this is my second meeting. My first meeting was a couple weeks ago, I guess. And I was talking to the group about looking past follower counts and understanding a little bit about interaction with our posts. So I know that we talked a little bit about not responding, but there are ways to understand what people are clicking on, what they're sharing, how long they're spending on the posts, the types of interaction they have with it. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into engagement with posts and beyond just follower counts. So that's on our goal for this year as well.
So the images on the right are actual photographs of the sign, which doesn't do the sign justice if you go out there and stand and look at it. But I just wanted to give you an idea of the intricacy of the graphics and things that we're posting now that we could not put up there previously.
I was surprised to see the colors the first time that lit up on the sign. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, all these different colors.
It's more vibrant.
Yes, very much so.
Much more detail. Some of which, I got an email from the president of the senior center thanking me for that, because she felt it attracted a lot more attention. Of course, our Savior Pipes did a version for the sign that's up there now.
Thank you for that.
it's a different aspect ratio, so it needs to be laid out a little differently. But an example of the software that I'm referring to there allows more efficient updates. We post when the county issues a code blue. So we go in and we use the same template and just go in and change the dates. And we don't have to create a whole new slide for it.
And we can have lowercase letters on it so we get more content.
You see underneath the recycling event where it says Upper Marion Middle School, I couldn't have put a graphic up that small on the previous one. It would have been much. We went from a 20 millimeter, which is not the highest resolution, to about a 6.5, which, you know, it's like the wire gauge, you know, the lower the number, the thicker the, so the lower the resolution, the lower the number, the higher the resolution. So it's a great improvement, and I was looking so forward to doing more with these graphics than we had been doing. And then a lot of the things that the Public Information Office produces, we have been subscribing to the Montgomery County Ready Monco alert system. That's something that they make available to all the municipalities in the county. And free of charge, we don't pay anything for it. Just recently, I put out a couple about the settling on 202 yesterday and the day before. Because
very kind word.
Well, actually, the contractor determined it wasn't a reoccurrence of the sinkhole. It had settled some, and when they got into it, they just realized it just had to backfill a little more and resurface it. So we're lucky that it wasn't a full sinkhole, but I was able to put out two or three notices telling people about 202 using this system. And we have over 4,500 subscribers on that. And we're also allowed to use it for community events, not just alerts. And if you go on the system and sign up for a profile, you can select, like I don't live in Upper Marion, so I select my township to get notifications from them. And there are some school districts that are listed on there as well. So you're not just limited to getting Upper Marion. You go on there and check off the entities that you want to receive notifications from. So it's very useful, and everybody should go on it and create a profile and sign up for stuff. So you might recognize the person on the cover.
I've never seen her before in my life.
So we publish this twice a year digitally. This edition just came out yesterday. The advantage, other than the cost savings, I'm able to put in a lot of links that enhances and expands the content, the information that's available on it. So as you go in there, make sure you look for links. Hover over the images, because I've created some images that are actually links also, in addition to actual URLs. So there's a lot of expanded content in here. The e-newsletter, have a little bit more news about that a little bit later. But you know, I'm very proud of the fact that we have so many different newsletters that address different target audiences. And you can see that, like, you know, the total all up, I don't know what the total is, but I imagine there is some overlap. But we are targeting and accommodating a bunch of different groups.
Going back to the previous slide, do you also do a paper version in a small printing?
Of this or the?
The previous one.
The Township Lines?
Township Lines.
I print them out.
There are some people mm-hmm. who don't have computers. I know it's fewer and fewer, but there are some people.
We do printing here.
Yeah.
As needed. And I put a stack. I haven't done it yet because this one just came out, but put a stack at the admin over at the library, and I take a bunch over to the community center.
And the senior center?
I drop some off at both.
No, I thought you had been doing that, but you just didn't mention that here, so.
I'm sorry.
Specify that for our
the
listening
public. The problem
public.
Is the printed ones don't have the clickable link, so it's.
No, they wouldn't. No, but
a little less information.
But
this one's fine. I expanded this one by 4 extra pages because of the content.
Okay.
There's a notification in there about don't flush your wipes. There's upcoming events, the community or the Earth Day is in there, and several things from the county. They have a home improvement thing, the hazardous waste access is a community assistance program, things of that nature. So it goes a little bit beyond Upper Marion Township. So but it's a great resource for a lot of different things.
I would like to add a comment to that.
But the mic
that I have now for a while thought that the publication that's produced by Franklin Maps is in conflict with the mission that we have with our media communications efforts on printed matter. And to the extent that the most recent one that they released had multiple wrong items in there regarding the township, their stories, the printing was, the font was different in the printing, as if they had a preconceived document or pre-prepared document and then wanted to edit it, but they didn't know how to edit it, so they just cut and paste. It was not that professional, but it appears to be us.
Yeah.
If you look at it, and whether it says King of Prussia News or not, it brings a bad light onto the township because of its, I don't want to call it unprofessionalism because it's a professional company, but because of its lack of...
total accuracy?
Total accuracy and total comprehensive communication. Not to mention the fact that it's become nothing more than an advertising board.
Well, it's a perfect example of what our board had brought up about the brand, creating a consistent brand for the township. Because here we got a rogue entity coming in, looking like they're us, but they're not. And so, you know.
How many of the advertisers think they're contributing to something that's supporting the township?
Exactly.
When they're actually contributing to a profit-making organization?
It's always been an issue for our board, the Franklin Maps. And, you know, it's easy to see how the residents can be confused. You know,
and when we turn over 10% of our residents minimum every year, more and more that receive that are going to think that, oh, well, this is the gospel of Upper Marion Township, when in reality it's just the opposite.
And he's always been, you know, a problem for us in that, you know, in that respect.
I don't know how we resolve it, if you do, Howard, but it just becomes more and more of a challenge to me to not want to really start some issue with it.
Yeah. No, I know. I haven't thought about it recently, but as you bring it up, you know, I can see it's a bit of a problem. And he's probably making some good money off of it.
Just thinking, he could make up for the cable.
The loss of the subscribers. Yep.
Thanks, Don. I just wanted to mention this. Get it on the record.
But ours looks a lot better than theirs.
Ours looks a thousand times better. I mean, you can clearly see that.
It's not award-winning. It's not a high watermark to reach.
Don't be stealing his thunder.
Yeah, right.
So the website serves its purpose and does get a lot of usage, but I know we can do better, so that's why we're working towards finding the appropriate vendor for us to supply us with a new website. But that's in progress. I'm trying to compare what they offer and what they cost for that price. So the media board's working on evaluating the offerings, and hopefully we'll have a decision on which, or a recommendation on which one to go with.
Sure. Yeah, it's a bit of a challenge because there aren't a lot of vendors that specialize in townships. Mm-hmm. So, and we're looking at two proposals that are, you know, diametrically opposed. Yeah. So there's more research to be done. It's not a willy-nilly process. We're taking it pretty seriously because there were some challenges with the last website that we hope, well, the last two websites that we hope that, you know, we're going to overcome in this go-round.
Howard, are you looking to change the software or just the design of
it? No, the entire platform.
So you go away from WordPress?
Yeah. I mean, WordPress is a largely deployed platform. I mean, there are tons of websites. The problem is they require various plugins to accomplish, you know, what we need to do. And when the plugins get upgraded, it can sometimes impede the functionality of the website. So we're looking to move away from WordPress.
So we have a new resident welcome packet that's available to online and at the receptionist if somebody gets a hold of us and wants us to mail it to them. I did speak with our permits person recently about when are we notified when a new resident moves into the township and we just automatically mail the packet. But I think that the information that comes out of the county is probably more, thorough. As far as they have the deed transfers and stuff like that.
UNO would be issued by code enforcement.
Right.
The use of occupancy permit would be issued by them. So that's when they would know there's a new homeowner.
Right, that's why I was talking to our permits clerk about that. But I thought I would look at both sources and we just automatically throw one in an envelope and mail it to them. As long as we know, you know, the new resident has moved in, that the house is now being occupied. But we're gonna be a little bit more proactive in getting that out to them.
What about new residents that are in apartments? We have lots more of those now.
Right.
Do we target the apartment buildings at all?
That's not something I looked into yet. I'm not exactly sure how to go about that.
Yeah.
Don, we did the fire company volunteer postcards that we created.
Mm-hmm.
We actually met with the managers of each of the apartment buildings and gave them stacks so that they could put them into the mailboxes, which we weren't allowed to physically do.
Yeah.
But that would be a way to get the welcome packets to them, is get them into the managers of the apartment buildings.
Yeah, let's add that to our initiatives for 2024, because Carol's point of so many more apartments in the township is really a strong point.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them may only be here for a year or two.
Yeah.
But I know many, many people that are in apartments for years on end, and they need to be, you know, they're residents, they're voters, they need to be, you know, felt like they need to feel like they're a part of the township as well.
Yep.
So
for the village specifically, there's a managers meeting that's held quarterly. It's hosted by the KOP BID. I've attended a couple of them, and I know that they're always looking for information like this specifically. So connecting with the KOP BID as well, Bill's suggestion, and then also because the KOP BID is not all of the apartment complexes in the whole township. Mm-hmm. So it would be primarily in their districts that they would have that access to. So Sky Over on Moore Road also in the village.
Mm-hmm. Park Ridge, Park View,
Park...
Square.
Park Square, yeah.
And on every apartment, when it becomes vacant, before it can be reoccupied, the fire department does an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk to Chief Johnson, he can give you the number and the location of where those inspections are being done. So you'll know that, you know, last month we did 10 in Park Square, last month we did 32 in Omnia, et cetera. And that would cover all of the apartment buildings. It would do.
Yeah.
It would be Kingswood. It would be
Golf Mills.
Golf Mills.
Yeah.
All the Westover buildings. American Ave. All of them.
251 DeKalb.
Mm-hmm.
You think they would cooperate with us and drop a welcome packet off when they do that inspection?
I think the fire department.
Yeah.
I would rather see it go through the manager, because the manager could, when they come in to sign the lease, the manager can give them the packet at that point in time.
All right, we can give them a bundle to have and have a new office for distribution as it happens.
But Chief Johnson can give you the numbers,
right,
so that you know how many to produce and provide to them.
I'll reach out to him next week.
Okay.
So I didn't realize we were going in and inspecting them as they change over.
Every apartment as they turn over.
That's fairly recent, though, right?
Three, four years.
That many?
Yeah.
So we maintain a robust television programming studio. So I wanted to point out ways that you can see our programs. On Comcast, channel 22, and cable channel 33, if you still have cable.
It isn't that bad, yeah.
And if you don't, we do stream our programming signal on our website. that what you might see on cable, you can see. I've actually gotten feedback of people that were out of the area who, like, they moved to Florida or something, and they still check out the stream. So, and we had a soldier or a detective who was deployed, and while he was out for 6 months, he was checking the stream while he was overseas.
I did.
So, did you? Okay.
Great spot.
I was talking about Mr. Phillips.
You might be.
So yeah, I think that's really a cool thing that we, you know, you can see that on the Quan Pi. We also maintain a Vimeo channel that we upload almost everything we create, and it's there and available for on demand viewing. The Board of Supervisors, every time we do one, these joint meetings will be up there. We also created and maintain a series of podcasts. We're converting a lot of, like, every supervisor's meeting turns into an audio podcast. The talk shows that we produce end up as. Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. People listen to them on their radio as they're driving, or their phones while they're driving all the time.
That's your audio.
But we convert a lot of our shows to the podcasts. And we've also looked at the analytics and stuff, and we've got people listening to them overseas. I don't even think people who used to live here, but like countries you just wouldn't expect that.
China, the intelligence service.
they're finding out a lot about the United States through our podcast.
Language learning.
Russians.
So this is where I was mentioning the newsletter would come up again. So the conference that you just came back from was, they had their 56th annual communication contest, and our e-newsletter got a first place award through the state. So Tiffany Bellamy is primarily responsible for putting that together every week, gathering the information and laying out each edition. And then we got a second place. We're working with high school graduates putting together a series of videos for the Upper Merion parks. The idea being each park will have a video that shows and describes their amenities. And then that each one of those videos will be posted on each one of the pages. There's 23 that we're working on, and hopefully it'll all be finished by the end of this month. But we submitted a series of like six in a collection, and that won second place. And then last year we created a public service announcements for the Montgomery County Attorney or District Attorney's Office, because they were looking for more people to volunteer for the Youth Aid Panel. So the district attorney came here, the assistant district attorney, the president of the Chiefs Association, and our own youth aid panel coordinator, and we did a public service announcement for them. And they said the week after it released, they got two volunteers, like almost immediately. So they were very thrilled about it. And I told Chief Nolan, who coordinated the shoot, and he told them, and they, Chief Nolan wants to take executive producer credits. So I said, you can, because you coordinated it. But they were thrilled to hear that they won an award.
So don't you the executive producer just get coffee?
They have coffee brought to them. But they're the ones writing the checks, so they get whatever they want. So I'm going to show you a compilation video. The first is the a little bit of the Youth Aid Panel PSA, and then the second one is just the beginning of one of the parks videos, and then the rest is just a variety of some of the things we've done in the past year.
Hi, I'm Kevin Steele, the District Attorney of Montgomery County.
Hi, I'm Fran Wheatley, Chief of Police with Upper Dublin Township Police Department and the current President of the Police Chiefs Association of Montgomery County.
Our Montgomery County Youth Aid Panel Program, or YAP as it's known, has been in existence for more than 20 years and has helped more than 10,000 juveniles avoid a criminal record.
Executed Estates Park is located off of Arden Road near South Gulf Road. There are a lot of activities to choose from when you visit this neighborhood park. When you arrive, you'll immediately find a tennis court, and upon crossing the walking bridge, you'll discover a basketball court, a picnic pavilion, benches to relax on, an open grass area, and a playground with swings, slides, and a ramp.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. My name is Chuck, and I'm joined by Zach Davis, otherwise known as Zachary Davis, who is the chair of the Environmental Advisory Council right here in Upper Merion. Zachary, welcome to the program. Can I call you Zach?
Yeah, call me Zach.
Okay. Okay. The big buzzword is the single-use plastic bags, right?
Yeah. And our band not only covers plastic bags, but it goes into plastic straws, styrofoam, food service products, so there's clamshells and cups. Yeah. And we're actually the first community east of California to put regulations and a ban on single-use plastic utensils.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Beth Davis. I am the chairperson of the Upper Merion Farmers Market Advisory Board, and today is the opening day of our 14th season. We're here at our new venue, Norview Farms, which is located at 670 North Henderson Road.
Here we are at our first green garden in Upper Merion, and the reason we're doing this is to help with excess water that comes with excessive rains that we're having more and more of.
Greetings, my name's James Johnson. I'm the chief of fire EMS for Upper Merion Township. Upper Merion is a second-class township located 15 miles from the city of Philadelphia. We just received a staffing grant from FEMA, which will allow us to hire 12 additional firefighters. We hope you will come and join our team. Our 12 additional career firefighters will work out of our Guthrie Road station.
I think that shows that we work with every department in the township and a lot of community organizations. So I just, and that kind of shows you the quality of the work that we do, which I'm very proud of. And this is, these are the people that do it. Tiffany, as I mentioned, she puts together the e-newsletter, she updates the website, does the social media posts. Jerry is in the public information staff. She does a lot of like coordinated park partners events. She's the foundation liaison. She's the BCA liaison. I mean, she has a lot of different responsibilities. And the part-time staff is Jeff Berninski, Andrew McBride, Sean Sealer, and a new member is Daniel Shields. So they all do a great job. They're all very dedicated. This department wouldn't be what it is without them. Now, I don't want to end in a down note, but we did lose somebody this past year, so I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned him. Brian Hendricks was here for probably over 20 years, and he passed around this time last year. And you don't realize what somebody does for you until they're not there to do it anymore, you know? And every time we go back to do something, we're like, oh yeah, that's right, Brian used to take care of that, you know? So we relied on him a lot. So I just didn't want to do this without mentioning him.
Thanks, Don, for that.
Thank you. So that's our presentation.
Very nice. Does anyone have any questions or additional comments?
You should
get a prize for that too.
What's that?
You should get a prize for the presentation.
No, I should get one for the local government slideshow. That was
thank you.
I got several. We're going to be posting that on the website. I got several requests to put that up there.
They did.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, thank you for this presentation. Thank you for all this information. Thank you for the great work that you do and all the recommendations you make for us. Well heated.
Thanks for having us
yes.
tonight.
And congratulations on first, second, and third place.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Good dude.
Do you need another wall?
Actually, yes. No, I mean, you asked that question.
What's that?
Trophy kids?
Trophy kids.
Trophy kids.
You know, you've seen yeah. by the wall by the studio, right?
Yeah.
I've got probably six unframed ones, maybe seven.
There's space here.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's space
show
here.
Show them off.
Yeah. You proud of that?
Don't give him a good head.
Why not? Why not?
Excellence should be
vaunted.
Okay, and we're going to take a brief recess.
Yeah, first
and then we'll be meeting with our last advisory board in just a moment.